Act 181 set off land use mapping, and that sparked major protests this year. Rural Vermont landowners argued that the law amounted to an infringement on personal property rights. As reporter Carly Berlin has covered this blowback, she learned that fights against land use plans have a long history in Vermont. And Carly joins us now to fill us in. Hi, Carly.
Hey, Mary.
What got you interested, first off, in digging into some of these older battles over land use plans?
So like you said, I've been following the rollout of Act 181, including these draft land use maps that would dictate development across the state and then the pushback against them. And in the middle of that, I heard from Ben Huffman. He's in his 80s, and he worked for former Governor Dean Davis's administration back in the 1970s. He said that 50 years ago, state leaders had tried to create maps guiding land use and that those efforts faced similarly fierce opposition.
The people who were outside the more urban parts of the state just saw it as taking property from them and denying them the opportunity to do what they wanted with their own property.
And back then, the opposition won. The land use plan never came to be.
Where did that idea of creating a land use plan come from in the first place? Like, what's the origin story there?
So roll the clock back to the late 1960s. New interstates were bringing more people to Vermont. Housing construction was accelerating. And at the same time, there was increasing fear that that new development was polluting the environment and marring the bucolic landscape that was drawing people here in the first place. Enter Governor Dean Davis, a Republican. He famously went to tour some of these new developments and was horrified by what he saw. And as a result, he pushed through Act 250 in 1970. That required that larger scale developments get a state permit. But the vision didn't stop there. The next step was to create a statewide land use plan and map, the idea being that this would guide where the state should focus growth and where it should maintain natural resources and open space. It's worth saying the scope of that vision was a lot broader than what's been contemplated in Act 181.
What did end up happening to that vision?
So Davis and his successor tried to get a land use plan through the legislature all through the early 70s, but it failed every time. The main gripes were that the plan infringed on personal property rights and eroded local control. There was a group of Northeast Kingdom landowners who argued the plan amounted to, quote unquote, statewide zoning. And hundreds of people showed up to planning meetings, and some of those meetings became quite unruly. One 1972 Rutland Herald reporter wrote that the opponents argued the land use plan was, quote, Satan's work, communist propaganda, and a wishy-washy bureaucratic nightmare. End quote. And lawmakers never put the plan into law.
Well, we've seen a similarly impassioned response to the mapping that's been laid out for Act 181. Carly, and you've reported that lawmakers now poised to roll back some of the more controversial bits of that law. What can we learn from history repeating like this?
You know, I think it shows that there are some perennial arguments that reverberate throughout the decades in Vermont, like how to balance environmental preservation and economic growth, the public good versus private rights. I talked to Vermont State University historian Paul Searles in my reporting, and he said that getting everyone to agree on what Vermont should look like and how land should be governed has always been a tall task, especially because the debate often cuts to a core tension.
In order to save some Vermont traditions, such as the integrity of the landscape, you have to give up others, like the ability to do with your land whatever you want.
I'll be following the debates over the future of land use planning as lawmakers get closer to the end of the legislative session.